Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Diva Days of Our Lives and Friends. Today we'll be interviewing the Days of Our Lives and the Bay star, Mary Beth Evans. You can call in to ask Mary Beth a question at 914-338-1239. You can also call in using Skype, or you can join us in our chat room. Follow us daily at divaofdaysofourlives.blogspot.com, and you can find us at Facebook at Diva Days. Mary Beth Evans started her career with soaps on Capitol. Mary Beth reached superstar status as Kayla Brady on Days from 1986 to 1992. After Days, Mary Beth went on to star as Catherine in General Hospital from 1993 to 1999. From General Hospital, Mary Beth portrayed Sierra on As the World Turns from 2000 to 2005. Mary Beth made her long-anticipated return to Days in 2006 till 2009. Not only will Mary Beth be back on Days starting on June 18th, she will also return briefly on As the World Turns for their final season. Mary Beth has the lead role of Sarah Garrett on the web soap The Bay, which will premiere this fall. Besides acting, Mary Beth started her own pie company called Mary Beth's Apple Pie Company. She also blogs on Hyperbomb. Thanks, Mary Beth.
Wow, that sounded good. It sounded like I've been busy.
Yeah.
I like that there's not a big gaps everywhere, you know, like that just keep on going. I like that.
I know. How do you have time to breathe between shows? I mean, you're so
very
fortunate to go.
I know. That's true. And even when they called me about this, the Bay series, I liked actually that it was sort of the matriarch in a way. I mean, she's, you know, has children and involved in all these different characters and all these different things. And I like that I can just kind of keep growing with characters and continue on and just hope to, you know, look pretty good for my age kind of deal and, you know, not try to be something I'm not. And I find that to be kind of a big relief.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about Sarah. I'm sure, you know, Gregory doesn't want you doing any spoilers, but how would you describe Sarah without giving away too much?
Well, you know, it's interesting about her. He thought about this character for a long time. I think he grew up with soaps, with his, you know, mother, whatever, you know, relatives had seen it. I think he was married to a Spanish soap opera actress for a while in the novella kind of deal. And I think so that's kind of been his, he's had that background. And he's done movies and things, but that, I think that's where his background started. And he said he thought of this character many, many, many years ago and just had been kind of rolling around in his head. And then he started writing these chapters, as he calls them, which I suppose each chapter is four episodes. And the idea of Sarah is that she, you know, she's a good person who tries to do the right thing, but I think, and I know people like this who, when something happens that is that for them, say she meets a new man or some interest of hers supersedes everything else, and so she follows her interests, even if that means that her children got left behind, or you know, and then comes back into the mix and doesn't really understand why they're not necessarily happy with her, you know, and that there's these issues, and so I think these relationships are complicated and. We'll be, you know, delving into the different relationships with everybody. But she's, almost everybody on the show, she's got some angle with. There's been something that's happened. And she has three children from three different men. Do I need to say much more?
Wow.
You know?
Yeah, she's busy.
Yes, I think she's busy, yeah. But you know what's been really exciting for me, too, on this? I never knew Tristan Rogers. I met him, I don't think I ever met him during my General Hospital days. And, of course, I knew who he was, but... He's the greatest guy. He's so down to earth, so humble, and has this big. So I keep telling him he has this big cartoon cat smile. He looks like a cartoon cat to me. I don't know if that's a compliment or not to him, but I think it is. But I'm not sure he thought so. But he's just a really sweet guy. So that's actually been really fun to work with him. And Gregory assembled this cast of just incredibly beautiful people and normal people and nice people. And we had a really difficult shoot where we had to go all night and eat early in the morning and all these this crazy schedule. Not one person complained. Not one person was not where they were supposed to be at the right time, ready to go, prepared. So I have to say that part's been really exciting. It's been really exciting to see a group of people. It's almost like a troop of actors in a theater company or something that just sort of show up. Let's get it done. And it's shot more like a film. It's one camera. and they do a master shot, a sort of a move in over the shoulder, and a close up, which is how they do film. So, needless to say, on regular daytime in the studio with the three cameras, you do like 130 pages in one day. Mm-hmm. This is 25 pages over 2 days, so it takes a lot longer. But I think it'll have a nice look to it. I think it'll look different. It'll be hopefully it'll be something new. It'll be something new for the internet.
How did you like having Martha Madison as one of your children on the show?
Well, it's funny because when he first said he was going to meet with her, I thought, as my daughter? But the guy who plays my son, Dylan, I can't remember his last name, unfortunately, off the top of my head, he seems old too, and everybody seems old. I'm thinking, gosh, really? But then if Martha in person seems, I know her, actually I do know her, but it just never crossed my mind. And now that I think about it, she was my niece on Days of Our Lives, so she could have easily been my daughter, but she also really looks so young in person, and we do have similar features, and I think it's a pretty good casting. And she's good. It's a good part for her. And she was, we got in a little pinch with our sets, and she was incredibly generous and let us go to her restaurant, which is crazy, crazy ambitious undertaking on her part, that she opened up this restaurant called Henry's Hat. It's right across from Universal Studios, and she's just, she pulled off this amazing thing. It's a busy, crazy restaurant that she totally put together and runs with incredible, calm and grace, and it's amazing. It's amazing. I realized, actually, I never really knew her that well, but I realized talking to her over the shoot that we're kind of similar backgrounds, and we're both kind of scrappers, and we're both kind of hustlers, and so I think we'll have a bond in that way, that we actually had very similar upbringings.
What is it about the Bay? How's the Bay going to be different from on-air soaps?
Well, I think it's, I haven't seen that many novellas, but I think it has more of a, it's a little more dramatic maybe. It's shot more intimately. The camera they use is almost, like if you go on their website, you'll see the cameraman shooting something. It looks like he has a still camera, like a Canon still camera. It's actually a movie camera. And, so it's very intimate. It's this little thing. He can just kind of get around and be up close and be, so I think it's just shot more intimately like that, I think. And it's, like I said, they're 8-minute episodes. So that's a pretty interesting, it's like a snippet. You get a little thing and then you'll be able to get them on your computer anywhere on your coffee break at your office or whatever. So, and I think that he's writing it sort of in a dynasty format, as far as everybody's sort of intertwined. Everybody's intertwined, and there's even, I know that on regular soaps, people always loved it when practically the whole cast was involved in some kind of story. And that's what this first pilot is there's, it's pretty much the whole cast is at an engagement party, and all these things happen. So everybody's there, and everybody's intertwined, and so I think he's onto something. I think it's interesting, and he's a pretty hip guy, and he's finding ways to get the word out, and like I said, he has a vision. He has a vision for it, and he's shooting it, directing it, writing it, and has a clear vision, and everybody respects him. And but I think it'll look different than daytime shows because of this little this intimate. I actually think it looks more film like. If you see the promos, it looks more like film than videotape, and videotape is what they do daytime. And, right now it's locations. I don't know if he plans to build sets later, but at the moment he's using real locations, and it's almost, it's easy for him to do locations because he has this teeny-weeny camera.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, I think he was reading a lot of soap fans' minds. Besides his love of Dynasty and that type of era and Super Couples. Just having the whole cast in one room at one time. That's been one of my biggest pet peeves about Days. That even at weddings, not everybody's there. It's a couple and it's a bunch of extras. It's like, why isn't this relative here? I miss that because in the 80s, you guys did that all the time. Everybody would be at a party at Victor's house or the Stephen Taylor wedding.
There's no bystanders. The whole cast is there, and everybody's got some little understory going on. Everybody's got something that's happening, something else that's happening underneath. Mm-hmm. It's interesting, and he really, I mean, he went to great lengths. He has, I mean, his characters are laid out, and I think he's got some interesting undertow.
Yeah, I have to ask you this question. This a Facebook friend, her name is Jennifer Schaefer. I think you know her. She's a friend of yours, or she's a fan of yours. She wrote probably one of the best questions I ever received, and I have to ask it first. She wanted to know, how important is it as a woman and actor in daytime for you to keep reinventing yourself?
To keep what?
To keep reinventing yourself as a woman and as an actress. How important is that to you?
Well, you know, for me, the whole reinvention thing is something that I blab on about all the time. From my mother, I talked to her about, to my grandmother, who at 91 was going to be put into sort of a senior living, and she was all worked up about it, and just talking to her about reinvention and a different time in her life and embracing it, and with myself and my friends, I endlessly talk about that. And I went on the Today Show with my pie business and talked about reinvention, and I blog for hybridmom.com, and I talk about reinvention endlessly. And it's funny because my daughter was just saying today, we went for a bike ride, she's home from college, and we were talking about, I was thinking about somebody hustling about a job or something, and she said something like, Mom, you know, not everybody has to, you know, be like that or something. And I thought, that is my MO. I'm a person who never sits still, and I kind of think that everybody should be up and moving and doing things. And I have a friend who's kind of a new divorcee and doesn't know exactly what to do, and you know, I'm just telling her, go back to school, do whatever, you know, find a career, find a passion. My mother-in-law went back to school at 50 to become a social worker, and she works at a private adoption agency reuniting, you know, adoptees and their long-lost parents. She's 77, and she still works full-time and loves her life, and she ballroom dances 4 days a week, and she, you know, absolutely reinvented herself. And I think you just have to think that this life is a long, windy road, and we all get knocked down, but we can't say, oh, God, I'm soured on dating, I'm not going to date anymore, or I'm soured on this, and I'm not going to do that anymore. And I think we just have to kind of keep pulling ourselves back up and trying something new, and, you know, endlessly doing things like that. And I think reinvention is really how we're all going to survive and be interesting and interested and just whatever. You got to kick your butt sometimes and get yourself moving.
Thank you. That was a great question. I really appreciate your answer.
Mm-hmm.
And
I will add one more thing on that, is that when I did a Hybrid Mom magazine, actually started by interviewing me about my pie company. And then the woman who interviewed me and I became, you know, kind of friendly because we were just having such a fun time talking. And then before you knew it, she wanted me to, you know, write some how-to column or do whatever. And then this blog thing. And anything she has ever asked me to do, I have said to her, oh, God, I have no idea how to do that. Oh, I can't do that. I have no idea how to do that. I'm not a writer. I'm practically, you know, I'm a functioning illiterate. Oh, I can't do that. Blah, blah, blah. And she, in her nice way, Alyssa Rubin is her name. She's just the cutest. And she kind of, you know, nudged me along to do these different things, where now I blog every single week about either my children or an event or decorating or a something, whatever is happening with me. And I just think all the things that we say we can't do, we really can. We're just all afraid to do them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I totally agree.
That's what I'm saying. You got to kick yourself in the butt. That's all you can do.
I know, but a year and a half ago, I wasn't doing a blog, and what, 12 months ago, I wasn't doing interviews. But, you know, we did it.
Right, and you know, when I left Days the first time, I didn't have much time to lament because I got pregnant right away, and then I was, you know, pregnant and home and doing this whole thing, and then I was on General Hospital, and they killed me off, and I was really kind of in a state afterwards. I didn't know what I was going to do. I was depressed. I oh God, you know, and then, you know, life marches on, and As the World Turns, Kim soon after that, and whatever, but I don't feel like that now. Like when shows end, or I, you know, like going into Days and beeping in there, and I take things for more what they are now. Like it was so much fun to go in there and work and see all my old friends, and then moving on to the next thing. Okay, then the As the World Turns thing popped up the next day, and then the Bay popped up, and you know, so my William Sonoma Pie thing is, you know, all over again. And so it's just I don't feel like that anymore. I don't feel that doom and gloom of, oh my God, what will I do with myself? I realize that great things happen when you're open to it and receptive and, you know, a bit of a hustler and call people back, and if you do all that, it will just keep reinventing. And I don't go through those weird lulls anymore that I used to. I think also my identity was wrapped up maybe too in it, thinking that if somebody asked what are you doing and I had to say I was unemployed, I'd start crying, thinking that what was my worth. And I don't think I do that anymore. I think now I understand that my life is full in so many different directions. It's not just a job. It's making me feel, worthy.
Yeah, I was a stay-at-home mom for 8 years, and then when someone asked you what you do for a living, I'm a mom, and you either get, oh, that's wonderful, or you get, oh.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, like, oh, that's all you're doing? Is you're just a mom? As every
mother knows, my God, that's the hardest job in the planet. And a full-time job, and I know. Like I said to you before we even started, I have a 22-year-old son who still gives me a run for my money, so it never stops.
We have a caller, area code 213.
Okay, it's Los Angeles.
Hi.
I know that.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Go right ahead.
Hi, this is Mandy Mary Beth. How are you?
Hey, Mandy. Hey, Mandy was one of our big people. I think she actually won a part on The Bay, didn't you, Mandy?
I did.
Did you?
Yeah,
oh,
but
wow.
She's on The Bay. She's on our pilot episode of The Bay, yeah. She's great.
I call my character is Girl at Bar.
Yeah, that's a good thing. You know, I had to put, like, Cougar from when I did Nip Tuck. I had to put that on my resume, so you can put Girl at the Bar.
I'm so inspired by so much of what you do, from your acting to your blog to your business and to what you describe as your family life. It all is just very inspiring. Who inspires you?
What inspires me?
Woman.
Who? Wow, that's a tough one. What does inspire me? I don't know what that would be. I mean, I'd like to say Martha Stewart, but that's too far gone. But somebody who goes the extra mile is somebody who inspires me. Somebody who, puts a little extra, candles on the table at night or, whatever. Just somebody who goes the extra mile. And, I'll tell you one person who really does inspire is my best friend. I know you went to her shop, but my best friend opened a shop in Pasadena called Maude Woods. And here's a gal, like many of us, who, was always going to swap meets, and she was an incredible treasure hunter and always brought home these things and was always brave enough to buy them. Like, I got the swap meet, I don't want to spend more than, $25, and she'd buy these things that were so cool, and she'd refurbish them, and she'd do whatever, and this went on for years and years, and she always said, I'm going to open a store, and I was like, yeah. And, I mean, she'd been a stay-at-home mom for a really long time. So, I mean, she just opened this store a year ago, and her youngest is in the 7th grade, and her oldest is in finished his first year of college, so she was a long time at home. And I joke with her that she just pulled this out of nowhere. It is the most beautiful store, packed with the most beautiful things. And she's like, I just went to the beach with her on Monday. Of course, we froze our butt off here in California, but we went to the beach with our older kids, and we're there for like 2.5 hours because it was so cold. But just her talking, the whole time she's talking, just about how the business this and her, hiring this person and firing them and price points and this and margins. And I just looked at her like, this is so amazing that this is who you are now. And it was not at all who she was before. And now her husband was so inspired by it that he's going to open up a market next door to her. So I'd say she inspires me right now to, keep on going, keep on trying things for sure.
Well, great. Thank you.
Thanks, Mandy.
Okay, Mandy. Until we talk again. Bye-bye.
I also have a caller on area code 814.
I don't know that one.
Hello?
Hi, Marianne.
Hi.
Hi, you're on.
Hi. Oh, hi, Mary Beth. This is Marianne.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Good. How are you? It's a real pleasure to have you on. You were talking about the character of Sarah. I was wondering do you feel she's your most challenging character to play, or of all the other characters you played, is there someone more challenging, who give you
I think at this point it really is because she is so involved with so many different people and has such a definite relationship with each person. And even though Gregory says, oh, she's the nicest person, whatever, then the kids are saying to me, oh, yeah, you're a great mom, what kind of thing? And I'm kind of going, well, what is it really? What's the story? So I think she's probably a little more complicated, and like I said, I think she's done a lot of things where she's followed her heart without necessarily thinking of the emotional ramifications to the people that she loved. So I think that is going to be probably more complicated for sure.
Okay.
And I had to make, I had to make a print cheat sheet of her relationship with all these different people. So that part's more complicated. I mean, I think, you know, Sierra and Kayla were definitely more straightforward. I thought Catherine was challenging because I had to play like kind of a bitchy character, and I never believed that I was very good at that. So I'd say that one's always kind of like a gray spot in my career because I'm not sure how well I pulled that off. But I think this is challenging in that regard, that she has definite relationships with all these people.
Mm-hmm. I was also wondering, of all the characters you played, who's more like you, personally, do you think? Or
you know, I'd say probably Kayla. I think
probably
Kayla.
Okay, that's what I want.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think she's kind of more, you know, wants to bring out the best in people, wants the best out of people, stands up to people,
right.
But nice. I think that's really probably more who I am. That I like Sierra because I think I always put on this like sort of more regal, a little bit more regal, smart vibe to her, and I like that. But I wouldn't say that really is who I am. But probably Kayla, just more. But you know, I think I'm more lighthearted than all these people because soap operas, they write them so serious. I you know, I'm not really very serious. So I'm not serious. I'm not organized. I'm kind of go by my sister-in-law says a triage approach to things, and I think that's probably true.
Okay.
I get an amazing amount of things done. Yeah. All righty. Take care.
Okay. And I'm anxious to see you on the bay then. Okay.
Yeah, that'd be
Thank
fun.
You.
I think it'd be fun.
Uh-huh.
Thanks, Marianne.
Bye-bye. Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I know you're not quite allowed to talk too much about Days and coming back on the show.
Oh,
good. Usually they say no spoilers. You can't ask me about spoilers. How many episodes? Usually we get told we can't ask about spoilers. You guys aren't allowed to divulge any.
Well, I can talk about, I'm on this. I think I'm on this week or next week or something.
Yeah, the 18th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can talk about it. Sure. I'd love to talk about it.
Sure. Yeah. Well, how many episodes did you do?
I did 6. And should I talk about it now? You want to talk about it now?
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So, I did 6 episodes, and it was truly some of the most fun I've had in a long time. I mean, we gathered for a sad occasion for, you know, Frances's parting, but, you know, her memorial service had already happened, and she, you know, we gathered. They brought back so many people from the past that, I mean, people that I hadn't really seen since, like, 1988, and people who I adore, like, Charlie Shaughnessy is one of my favorite people on the planet. You want to talk about the most humble, sweetest, funniest guy on the planet, lighthearted, laughing. He is truly one of my favorite people I've ever met. In fact, I've said this before, but my 17-year-old son, when I found out I was going to have a boy, Charlie was a huge name in the pot because of Charlie Shaughnessy. But then I realized that the way Charlie says it is the way I'd want to say it, which was Charlie, which was never going to be what anybody called him. So I named him Matthew instead. But I just adore that guy. He's one of my favorite people, him and Wally there, another incredibly humble, sweet guy. And I think for all of us, we realize that we really have a sweet family in that group and that everybody was just happy and thankful to be there and to celebrate Frances. And we reminisced a lot, and it was fun. I think it will be interesting to see the shows because – they had flashbacks of everybody, you know, different characters doing different things with Frances, different escapades. And there was one with me and her, you know, doing something that I don't remember. I have to say I don't remember the scene, but I think anytime they go back to, like, you know, 1987 or something and show a flashback and then come out on us now is a trippy thing. It's trippy that there's that kind of documentation of your life, you know. But, you know, she was such a hoot. And, you know, really impacted all of our lives. And so it was just fun. And then the actual service that we had for her, everybody was really choked up, and because we all really loved her. And she was, you know, it's a weird thing that it was really one of those, you know, art imitating life kind of things. And I think it was a nice send-off for her. I think they did a really nice job. They also didn't do just everybody standing at a funeral. They had little stories for everybody, and everybody was intertwined, and it was really, really nice. and everybody, those shows are funny because, you know, everybody works different days, so they don't know if you've been there or you haven't been there. So it really felt like I had been there the week before, and we were all just really happy to be a part of it. And Missy and I, who, you know, go way back, we shared a dressing room the whole time, so that was fun. We were showing each other pictures of our kids, and, you know, these kids were either not born or super tiny back then, you know, so
right.
Now she's got a daughter in college. I have one that just finished college, another in college, so it's really like family. It really was touching for all of us to think, you know, God, we have really a pretty great group of friends.
Oh, you're making me cry. I haven't aired yet.
No, it was really sweet. I think they did a really great job. I think Dina, I think I even read somewhere that she thought that was the secret to doing those kind of shows, and I think she was absolutely right. I think that was it was really different than I'd done on other shows where, I mean, it really was, you came back and you did something in the show with other people, and like with me, with Stephanie, and with, Adrian, and, you know, different people, and actually had stories about stuff that's going on, and then this other stuff with the memorial service. So it was nice.
Yeah, real life doesn't stop if someone's dying. You know, you still have to deal with your daughter and your brother and everything else.
Yeah,
like,
and if you come back in town, I mean, what's that daughter been up to, you know? Mm-hmm. I found my mother. I mean, what was written and what my motherly instincts were, you know, it's like, no, you know. So I had to give her a little 1-2 on that.
Yeah. Yeah, Stephanie really needs her mom right now on the show, I'd have to say.
I know. Yeah.
Oh,
so I think I have a few discussions, but I think I'm sort of in the dark, a lot of it, kind of like, what happened? It's kind of like a lot of what? So anyway, yeah, I got to bring in my opinion for sure.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait to see it, too.
It's really, I think it's good. It was nicely done, really nicely done.
We have another call, or we have area code 213?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the same one? 213?
Can you hear me? If it's me, it's the same caller.
Okay.
Oh, hi.
Did you have another question, or did you want to just listen?
Oh, I'm just listening.
You're just listening, Mandy? Okay.
Yeah.
Just making sure. Okay. Okay, and I wanted to ask you about the old school Days of Our Lives. What was your first impression when you met Stephen Nichols for the first time?
I remember it so vividly. So I go in for the audition. They had the auditions up in the producer office. And he comes in. They just pulled him off the set or whatever. So he's in, like, his leather jacket, his fake scar, his whole deal. And so he comes in and reads with me. And that went well, you know. Then we had they called me back for a test, a screen test, and I still remember I had this dress, this like little pink silk thing with a lace, like Peter Pan collar or something.
Mm-hmm.
And did this test, and he always jokes that I said afterwards, well, that was crap, only the word with the S, you know. And I don't remember that, but we were kind of instantly good friends. You know, the thing about him is he really connects with you, and you look in his eyes, and you get a lot. So it went well, and they cast me, and then we really became great friends very early on, and we still are great friends. And, you know, I had some, like, placenta previa, they called it. I had these problems when I was pregnant at one point with my daughter, and he, you know, drove me to the doctor from work and waited for me, and he was just always so caring. And when I had my kids, he would come to the hospital and hold them and take pictures and see them. And with one of my kids, it might have been my first one, when he was born, he came to my house, but he had like a cough or something. So he brought a doctor's mask, and he sat on the floor of my house holding this little baby with a doctor mask on, like kind of rocking, because he already had two kids of his own.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a good guy. He's a really good guy. And like I said, we've been seriously great friends since then.
Sherry wants me to plug an event you're having with Stephen Nichols in Los Angeles on Saturday, September 25th. So she wanted me to plug that. I'm plugging that.
Mm-hmm. I think it's at the Beverly Garland Hotel, I hope. That's right. And we are going to get together and visit with our old friends and fans.
Mm-hmm.
We've done them before, and people always really love them. And it's fun for us to get to see the faces behind the people who write to us and whatever. So, and to kind of just give our appreciation for their support. I mean, they're amazing. The fans of Dave and our and us are amazing. They go the extra mile absolutely always. So it gives us a chance to kind of say thank you and connect. I don't know the time. I don't know if they know the time yet, but it will be that day. And I'm sure if you go to, there's a website for me, MarybethEvans.com, and one for StephenNichols.com. I'm sure they'll sell tickets for that.
I remember, well, there was always a Stephen Kaler fan base on the boards before you guys came back. And I remember you guys had that Sober Digest cover about coming back, I think about 2 months in advance. And it, just the boards went insane. You know, the Skorks invaded, and they are just the most wonderful fan base I've ever dealt with.
You know, we've done these things. You've done these events. I have to say one I loved in particular is we went to Charleston. That's where I met that girl, Mandy, that called. She used to live in Charleston. But the thing that I love the most is we did some kind of, I forget how it came about, if you just bought a ticket or it was a raffle, I don't remember how, but I did a breakfast the next day. It was so fun. We all just, like, sat around in a room and just more casual because the problem, you know, the problem when you go to those, autograph signing sessions is people come through and you say, oh, hi, how are you? And they don't, nobody ever really tells you much, you know, so it's okay, but it's nice to get something back from people as far as, like, I know what their group is about, what their life is about, what, you know, so I enjoy that. I don't know, we probably won't do it this year, but it gives us a chance to get together with people, you know, and a lot of people, there's people, there's these two women in particular, just on the top of my head, Linda Peduti and Kathy Jarvis, these two women who were back in the very first fan club, I think it was Lakeside it was called, fan club of Stephen Kaler, and they just, they come to everything. They you know, we just did a For the Bay party in Hollywood, a kickoff party right before we shot them, and they were, you know, Kathy Jarvis was there, not, Linda Peduti wasn't, but, and Sherry and Mandy and some other people, and, I mean, they're just great. They just show up, and they're there, and they're supportive. It's great.
Yeah, I've friends with, her name is Will Catches from Australia. I've been friends with her online, and Carol Walmay, she got me the Gregory Martin interview, and it's like, wow, people are giving me interviews. That's fantastic. But, yeah, your fans are just absolutely amazing, and they're so nice. I mean, you don't, you know, some fan bases aren't very nice, but yours has always been very nice. Oh, yeah. I could tell stories, but I'm not going to. Your fans.
That
would
be bad.
I it's so sad. It's like, you know, it's a soap opera. There's no reason.
It's not worth it.
You mean?
I was talking to a customer the other day, and they were just saying that, talking about someone being difficult or whatever, as an actor or whatever, and I was just thinking, in all avenues, what is the point? You know, everybody's, I tell my kids too, like, you know, gosh, everybody's just trying to struggle to make a life. You know, let's all just be kind, and, you know, everybody's trying, and so, yeah, no, I've been lucky. I've never experienced that. I've never experienced anything like that.
In your opinion, what made Steve and Kayla such a big deal? Why were they so special? And why, you know, after all these years, there was such a clamor to bring them back?
Well, it's funny, because when I wouldn't know exactly, and I don't know exactly, but when we were going back 3 years ago, I did see some old people, some fans put together a DVD for me, and I watched some of the shows, and, I mean, it was pretty special. It's pretty sweet. The vulnerability underneath them, and Stephen can really show vulnerability, which a lot of men don't, and that's incredible. And he was a really damaged character, and she was sort of his rescuer, and bold with him, and it was really kind of, it's just a very sweet love story, and we were, you know, we were both young, and, I mean, I was probably young and innocent, and it just worked. It just worked. We clicked. We had good chemistry. We got along. We both, you know, trusted each other, and you know, they took a lot of time back in those days too. They took time to make something romantic, to add the candles, to add the billowing curtains, to, you know, they took time for all that, which they don't really anymore. And they built super couples, which, you know, they don't really do that anymore either. I mean, I have to say, when I was on Days, I was talking to Molly Burnett, and it's just crazy how you're in love with someone, but you're sleeping with someone else, and you're doing all this, which is all TV shows now, which I find incredibly irritating, especially having teenagers, to try to say, this doesn't need to be like this. But it's sort of what is happening now. And so they don't build that type of thing anymore, I don't think.
Yeah, we interviewed Sherry Anderson last week. Mm-hmm. And, I think she was the queen of building up a super couple as far as developing mm-hmm. the characters and building up the romance.
I just saw her at Ken Corday's, he wrote a book about Days of mm-hmm. Our Lives, and I think I saw her there. Yeah, she's been around for a long time.
Yeah, she's writing a book about John Marlena that's coming out in November.
That'll be a big hit, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, she's doing four books so far, and she's working on number two, and it's going to be on her couples, and she's taking requests. So I'm sure she'll come out with something for Steve and Kayla also.
Yeah, funny.
I have to ask, this is kind of embarrassing. I remember the bubble bath that she did with Steven.
Oh, yeah, with John York, or with Steven. Oh, Steven, on when we came back today.
Yeah, it was when Kayla went under the bubbles, and just a teenager, like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe they're shut down. I was wondering what your thoughts were on that, if you were surprised that was in the script, or...
I doubt it was in the script. We probably were just goofing around. You know, we were closed, so we were just goofing around, whatever it was. But, I don't know. I don't know. I have a vague memory on things, little details like that. But, you have all your clothes on, so it's nothing that risque.
Right. I think the more the insinuation of what she was doing, was
The thing I remember the most about that bubble bath, and this mm-hmm. is for anybody who's self-conscious about their body, is that mm-hmm. I have these wide feet that I have, hid forever, always wore ballet shoes or something. I can hardly wear strappy sandals, whatever. And that the scene starts, I think, with my feet on his pecs. And I thought that was a major personal breakthrough to have a close-up story that scene like that. So that's what I remember about that. I don't remember about the going under the bubble part, so whatever. But actually, when I was on General Hospital, I was taking bubble baths all the time with John York. And they would use that strong Mr. Bubble. And, they'd paste on these things over your boobs, and they would come off. And I mean, it was way more stressful doing those back then. I had like a bandeau top and some shorts, and he had shorts, and it just wasn't that. It wasn't, I mean, I didn't even think of it in this crazy way like that. You girls all have just, naughty minds, what can I tell you?
Oh, it must be me. It's all me then.
Yeah.
We have a caller, area code 210.
Hello?
Oh,
okay. My name's Chris, and I'm from Texas, and, I read your blog every Thursday without fail, every time I'm looking for it. So I wanted to know from you, the last few of them have been Katie's letters from Vietnam. How do you get up? Do you ever get nervous? I mean, she's on the other side of the world doing what she's doing, and do you ever get nervous about that, or is it perfectly fine for you? Because I know when you were younger, you went to Europe, right? So how did that work for you?
Well, you know what? I was nervous about it, but what can I do? She's 20 years old, and she was going with a group, and their mission was so fabulous to go take medicines and supplies to these poor villages in Vietnam, and, I just held my breath, quite frankly. And her emails were a huge comfort because you could just see what was going on for her. In fact, she's home now, and it's been incredible. We've been out. In fact, we went for a bike ride this morning, and we just made some fresh mint chocolate ice cream. So, we're having a good time, and she's back and all as well. But it was an amazing thing, and she's that kind of person. She's just a person who wants to give back, and how can you stop that? I don't know. I think I just have to hold my breath that she will be safe. And she's not a risk taker anyway type person. So I knew she wasn't, and I endlessly was like, don't be like, I'm not saying this in a flip way, but don't be like a Natalie Holloway or somebody who gets abducted or do something dumb, like you get in a cab with someone. She's not going to do something like that. And it was a very supervised group, and it was amazing. In fact, I'm going to submit one more today with some videos and pictures. And it was just incredibly moving, and all these different people who wanted them to take her, for her to take their child with her for a better life. And I mean, as much as everybody gives Angelina Jolie grief, you can kind of see how that happens. These sweet kids that connect with you, you know, it's kind of hard sometimes to just go home and think, you know, just say, I'm just going to leave all these people behind. So, it was a great, great, great experience for her. And now, you know, her father's a doctor, and I think she's going to try to take him along with her next year. She's already laying the groundwork with the people to get him an application and whatever.
Well, I think it's really terrific. I mean, she's becoming aware of the world out there, and it's pretty cool because she's making us aware too more. I had never thought really too much about Vietnam, and my mother was
going on and on about. And even when she would say Saigon, you're thinking people aren't supposed to be there, you know, because of the whole war deal. But it's not that way anymore, obviously. And I know when she was in high school, even she did a fundraiser and raised money for. She had read an article in a magazine about girls who. If they didn't have Kotex, they would skip school during that time, and then before you know it, they were too far behind, and then they dropped out of school. And so she did a big fundraiser and raised money to buy Kotex for girls to keep them in school. So that's kind of been her MO endlessly is education and kids. And now she's on this thing about, I think if you spend $60 a year, you can keep a kid in school in Vietnam. And it's the only way out for people. It's the only way to make a better life is education. So she's very into that, educate people to have a better life.
I wanted to congratulate you also on The Bay and coming back to Days and As the World Turns. I'll be watching all of those. And okay. I wanted to congratulate you about that and wish you good luck on it. Are you going to blog about The Bay, you think?
I will. I'm going to do the one more for Vietnam one today, and then maybe that's what I'll do next week is go on to the whole Adventures of the Bay.
Well,
that would be good. Good idea. Good idea. Yeah, I heard it from you. I will do it.
Good. Excellent. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, I was reading your blog, and I have to say I love your Starfish in the Bushes. And I was wondering, with decorating, that's a strictly a hobby, or is that something – that you actually do if you take on jobs?
It is a hobby. I have done it for friends for free just to help them out, but I don't do it as a profession, no. But I've always been a person who, you know, like even when I was a kid, at high school I'd, you know, wear a top hat, or, you know, I was always into costumes. I always liked faces. I have a zillion little, you know, faces in my house of car, you know, whatever, all different types. And I think I'm just a person who likes all the extras, all the whimsies, all the little things. And I swear I walk by them. Like the little shells, that one picture of the shells and my daughter's footprint, handprint, whatever that's in my garden. Every time I walk by that, it makes me happy. So I just like to put little tidbits around that make me happy. But, moving is a drag, so I got too many little tidbits everywhere.
Do you have any tips on where you find your stuff?
Well, you know, there's a huge flea market at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena that I go to quite often, and there's another one in Long Beach. There's swap meets around this area, and I go a lot. I find a lot at swap meets.
Mm-hmm. I have to talk about Nip Tuck. I was a big fan of that show, and your scene was so sexy.
What's so funny? I mean, they gave me this huge push-up bra and that little sneaky dress, and it was all very fun. Especially, I had just left Days, where they were, you know, they had such budget cuts, they were really going to discount places for the wardrobe, and to go do Nip Tuck, where, you know, it's like, you know, $600 shoes, and so that was fun for an afternoon to get to actually, you know, go high end. That was fun, and that particular guy that I worked with is just so crazy cute in real life. I have to say, I had like a dreamy afternoon, and my husband keeps saying, I will say that to people, and he's like, God, I think you have a big fat crush on him. I'm like, I do. He was cute. I mean, on the show, he kind of like he plucked his eyebrows and he did whatever. I don't even know what, but in person, he was just really normal and cute and kind of big, and I just thought he was just adorable. And it was fun. It was just a fun shoot. They, you know, they lit it well. They took their time. It was like the second to the last one or something like that. So it was nice. It was fun.
And I was watching it, and you just look so stunning. I'm like, wow, why can't they dress her like that on Days once in a while? You know, I mean, I understand playing out Kayla's character.
Well, they don't have the budget. They don't. Lighting is such a big deal, and they don't on daytime. It's always been like that. All the lights are above your head, where these are all lights that are like lower than your head, pointing up. So, you know, I did a Murder, She Wrote. I must have been in 1992 because I was actually newly pregnant with my son, and they lit her with like five rose-colored lights pointing up towards her face. I mean, that's when you look good.
Wow.
You know, not when you got have overhead lights and there's shadows, and videotape is tough too. You don't look so great on videotape as you do on film. So, you know, it's the nature of the beast. I always think if everything goes HD, I should probably just call it a day and not do it anymore, because HD just shows way too much. All your smiles and your smile lines and your dimple lines just turn into wrinkles. So, whatever.
When did the idea of your Apple Pie Company, when did you start to go into that?
I started in 2005. I had made an apple pie forever and a day, and always made it for parties. And started making it for like all my kids' teachers and this kind of thing. So my husband read an article in the Wall Street Journal about mail or apple pies, and he said you should do that with your pie. And I just thought, oh my God, are you kidding? So I did do it sort of as a lark and a dare, and I've had some great successes with it. But it's also a struggle. It's a struggle to actually make money doing something like that. It's a struggle to send a frozen, unbaked thing and have it get somewhere intact. that is a challenge. But everywhere it goes, it's successful. It was the biggest seller for Thanksgiving and Williams-Sonoma catalog and website last Christmas. I sold 3,000 on QVC. You know, everywhere it went, it's done well, and people really like it. It's just I'm kind of a one man show, so that part is a struggle. And I made 34,000 little leads to the top of those pies last Thanksgiving myself, which was a total crazy burnout. So actually, oddly, Galen from Days of Our Lives, father. Gosh, my phone is ringing. Hold on. I'm sorry. I don't mean to really hold you on, but hold on a second. Okay, good. So we got it. His father is a blacksmith, and Stephanie Sloan from Soap Opera I just told me that she thought he was a blacksmith. And I called him, and he's trying to figure out how to make a big cookie cutter thing. Like he's a tinsmith, and they put all these together so that 50 of the little leaves could be made at one time instead of these little individual deals. So those things are work in progress. It may go out this year with no leaf, but we'll see. So I keep on trucking along. But
yeah, and I just, you know, it must be so special to your fans to know that you're literally making the pie for them. You know, it's your neighbor.
It's a crazy thing, seriously. I tell myself that every year. This is crazy, but I still keep. It's too hard to give it up, so I just keep on trucking with it.
Right. 208. Are you there?
Hi.
208. Ah, there you are. We got you.
Hi. Yes, I finally got in. Hi, Mary Beth. This is Erica. I actually met you at your play in February.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I was the attorney from Idaho, and I just got to see the first weekend of the play, and obviously I know it went on for a couple more weeks after that, so I was just curious on how you felt about the whole play experience at the end of the experience and what that was like for you.
Well, you know, I hadn't done a play since The Tangled Snarl at the Fremont Center Theater 7 years before when Jim Reynolds asked me to do that play. And the thing about plays when you have a family is, you know, they're at night on the weekends. And my husband, you know, works a regular job during the day, and Friday and Saturday night are sort of our time together. So that is always where I have to have, like, a little conversation with him about, you know, I'm sorry, but I need to do this. And so luckily the plays I've done have been, like, one act, so they're done kind of early. We can still kind of meet up. But when this play came about, I actually had heard about it and submitted myself for it around my agent and Michael Bruno, my manager, because I just thought I wanted to do a play. I had just done so much daytime where everything you do is so fast-paced that there's really very little direction. It's almost just you. Well, it is that you bring whatever you can to the table that day, and you shoot it, and if you didn't blow your lines, that's what they're taking. So hopefully you have good instincts and you make some good choices, but it's just going to err the way you do it. So rarely does someone come and say, why don't you try it this way, or let's do that. Okay. That doesn't really happen because it's such a fast-moving train. So I was just in a mood that I thought I wanted to actually work on a piece and spend some time with it and have real direction. And this being a comedy, that was different than what I'd been doing too. So it was all that. I got everything out of it that I wanted to. And in the end, I couldn't do the last couple days because my best friend's daughter was being bat mitzvahed and I needed to be there. And so they had an understudy finish off the thing, and they said something to me that they were sorry that I couldn't finish it. And I said, are you kidding? Opening night would have been enough for me. That was enough of an accomplishment just to spend the time working on it and putting it up. But the experience of doing a play night after night is amazing because it always changes. Your rhythm is good. Your rhythm is bad. The audience gets something. They laugh in different places all the time, so then you think it's not funny anymore where you thought it was funny. And so it's kind of a complicated, interesting roller coaster. Plus, you know, I think it's good to get your heart rate up. I think it's good to get nervous. I think it's good to have all those things. It's got to be good for your health, I would think, and your complexion, I would think. But it was a great experience for me. And those were really sweet people, and they became good friends of mine. So everything about it was a win. There was no downside whatsoever.
Oh, that's great, because it was really fun to watch. It was really fun to see you and get to see it a couple of times. And I just wanted to see how the whole thing went for you. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
And we have Sherry at 706.
Hi, Mary Beth.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm doing well. I just wanted to say that the Beverly Garland is probably out. Their rooms are full, so we are looking for another place to have the event.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go,
okay.
Ladies. Okay, good.
Okay. I do have a question.
Yes.
I saw recently that you may have done a pilot for a cooking show, and everybody is wanting to know if you may have a cooking show in your future.
We're going to do it. We haven't done it yet.
Oh, okay.
It's a good friend of mine who is a producer director. She's a producer director and has a great idea about an angle that she wants to do, and so she's collecting her peeps, so to speak, and we're going to shoot it. So. It's just one more thing on the list, but I can't really say exactly what it's going to be because
okay.
she wants to keep that a secret. But you know what? That's what I'm saying. I say yes to a lot of things, and I do it more for the creative process than thinking. Like even when the whole Bay thing came about, when Gregory talked to me and I said, okay, I'll do it, and then Sherry, who's on the line right here, she sent me an email saying, I heard you're going to do this Bay thing, and I was like, oh, yeah, well, yeah, I guess I am, because I didn't even think about it once I left the lunch. So. I kind of
nothing
say yes
is secret
lot.
Anymore. The internet has everything.
I guess. It's crazy. Well, you know what? I tell my kids that, too, because especially my high schooler, it's like the Gossip Girl show. Anything happens and the whole neighborhood knows, so you gotta watch it. But so this thing, that would be fun. I mean, obviously, cooking and decorating and all that is certainly a huge interest of mine, so I'm open to those kind of things for sure.
Yeah. Another quick question.
Mm-hmm.
You're always creating, whether, you know, it's a character, decorating homes, or planting a garden. And so at this time in your life, is there one that you prefer to do?
I really love this gardening. I mean, acting, of course, is my favorite. That's my first love. But
mm-hmm.
as far as, like, home things,
mm-hmm.
I like gardening the best. This time of year, and everything's in bloom, and I just love that. And the whole vegetable garden thing, I said to my daughter the other day that it's really like having a pet. You have to go out there and tend it and pick it and turn it and this and that and whatever. And especially if you have like a zucchini plant, you turn your back, you got a baby growing out there. They get so big. But I just, I love that. I love, I put some little orange cherry tomatoes on a climbing trellis and they're like above the roof. And I just love all that. I think it's so much fun. And I grew gourds before and I just planted some more, but I had one of those gourds and I made a hole in it the other day and tied it to a tree for a birdhouse. And now I really want to get one of those big white kind of big birdhouse things with a bunch of holes that you stick in a stake, a big old post in the ground. That's my next. I'm like looking on the internet because I want to find one to. I want to bring the birds. I just like all that. I like all the outside and the birds and the vegetables and I have a billion roses that I've planted, and I really, really love the garden. It's one of my favorite things. And I just think you get a lot of reward out of it.
I need to get you a birdhouse that is indigenous to this area, Georgia, Tennessee, that has on the roof that says Sea Rock City. I don't know if you're familiar with that. There's a place in Chattanooga, Tennessee called Rock City. And when I was growing up, there were barns. The roof of barns would have Sea Rock City painted on there as an advertisement. Well, Cracker Barrel, which is a place to eat and has it's a little country store, they sell birdhouses that has on the roof Sea Rock City.
Oh, is that funny? Well, you know, even the street I live on, has a lot of birds. There's a lot of trees and a lot of birds. And many years ago, this is the story in the neighborhood. I don't know if this is true, but I've heard this for years, that a pet store burned down and there were little green parrots that got out. And, well, they have multiplied to a flock of about 150, and they roam around this town. And if they all get in one tree, they are so loud, you want to, like, shoot a cannon off, they're so loud. But I love that. There's, like, those birds and some little Tweety birds, and I think it's very peaceful and wonderful. So I got a couple of those gourds in the yard. I got another little thing. I got a Target. So I haven't had anybody move in yet, but I'm hoping.
You'll have to keep us informed on that.
I will. If I get
what bird family moves in.
If I get a nest, I'm taking photos and blogging about its development for sure. Like it's never happened to anybody, you know. Brother. All right. Thank you for calling. I hope you're feeling better.
I'm feeling a lot better. My arthritis is doing a lot better now.
Oh, good. Good, good, good. All right. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Sorry. I love it when Southerners call in. Such a nice
she's great.
Change of pace.
She's,
oh, she's wonderful.
She's one of those people that she goes the extra mile. She's the one that she runs all those fan club websites and comes out at a moment's notice she came to our Bay little kickoff party from Georgia. So, you know, she's one of those people that absolutely go the extra mile.
Yeah, no, I want to thank Sherry, but she's the one who arranged this whole interview. So,
And that too.
Yeah, no.
Sent me a reminder this morning. I better not forget. She knows how I'm so bad that I don't call people back and I'm never on time, and she knows all that. So she's on top of me, which is good.
And our last caller will be 812.
Hi, Mary Beth. My name's Tammy. I'm from Indiana. My 7-year-old son, he was reading the blog with me one day when you were doing your garden, and he asked if we could do a garden. So now we have all kinds of vegetables growing around our swimming pool.
Oh, great.
So
it's great to just put them in the garden. They don't have to be in a bed. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so funny because 2 years ago my husband built like a stacked little bed. And so we have one area that has a bunch of vegetables. So he helped me pick green beans the other day, and then my 5-year-old daughter helped me snip them. We cooked them. We ate them. He's like, can we go pick some more now? But, I mean, it's just amazing, the learning process of my 7-year-old, that he's learning how everything grows. He's actually started keeping a chart of how long it takes things to grow.
Wow.
But my question was, out of all the characters that you've played, if you could rewrite just one, which one would it be and why?
What would that be? Maybe with Catherine, that she would have just stayed with Stefan, and you know, they took them on such different paths. You know, they never recreated the same special quality that Patch and Kayla had, and I think part of it was that the Stefan character wasn't as sentimental and sweet as Patch was, but they never, you know, at one point they made it where we were like brother and sister or something or whatever. I mean, it was just this crazy path where I wish that would have been different. I wish that we could have taken that and run with it, because Stephen and I do have this special chemistry that isn't, you know, repeated very often. So I think that's what I would have liked, if they would have written that a little bit differently.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh. Take care.
Well, we're at the end of the show, and thank you so much. And
my pleasure.
You're such a fascinating person. You wear so many hats, and it impresses me. I don't know how you get any sleep, honestly.
You know what? Everything's kind of dragged out. It all sounds like it's very condensed, but it's not really. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm talking to you on the phone, I just finished making ice cream. I'm in my garden now as I'm talking to you, so I don't waste any time.
Right. Yeah,
keep it all moving.
Yeah, I was going to ask you how the ice cream was coming along. Yeah, this time
it's good. Oh, my God, it came out amazing. You know, I had took mint from my yard, from my garden. And
what you
do is you put a cup of milk and a cup of cream and like a 3/4 of a cup of sugar and a pinch of salt, and you put that and you heat it, but you don't boil it. And then you put 2 cups of fresh mint leaves, and then you turn it off, and you just let it steep in that and until it cools. And then you strain the mint out, and that's your base. And then you add, you know, like 5 egg yolks and another cup of cream, I think it was, and get it all cold. You know, then you heat that again until it's warm. Then you get it cold in an ice bath. There's a whole recipe for you. And then we put it in an ice cream churner thing just now that my friend loaned me. And, oh, my God, it's amazing. And then we chopped up some bittersweet and semi-sweet chocolate bars and put them in there. It's just delicious. It's amazing. But fresh mint tastes so different than chocolate mint ice cream you buy in the store.
Oh, yeah.
Really yummy.
Really yummy. Yeah, I don't like mint ice cream with the store. It's green, too, and that's really disgusting.
It's barely green. Yeah, this is barely green. You know, natural.
Mm-hmm.
Natural. So, yeah, alrighty, great.
Yeah, this might be the start of the Rebeth ice cream company then, huh?
Well, you know what? I have been in this, but I think I'm going to go buy one of those ice cream makers that you don't have to keep freezing the bowl. That's I don't know how expensive they are, but I think that's got to be the trick. Because this, you know, you have to freeze the bowl for 24 hours. That really slows me down.
Oh, yeah.
All right, great. Well, great talking to you.
Great. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.